This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. In his page-turning debut novel, Call Me Sonny, acclaimed author Steve Lazarus invites readers on an unforgettable journey into a world shrouded in mystery, danger, and unyielding suspense. Drawing from his own real-life experiences, Lazarus weaves a masterful tale that will leave readers captivated from the first page to the last. Steve Lazarus is a first-time author, retired FBI special agent, and United States Air Force veteran. The unique voice he brings to Call Me Sonny draws on over 35 years of service to his country at home and abroad. After retiring from the FBI, Steve worked for several years in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, where he trained aspiring members of the Emirati National Security Service. He now lives in the South Carolina Lowcountry, the beautiful Lowcountry, with his wife and their amazing wonder dog, Aspen. Happy to have Steve Lazarus join me for the first time here on Speaking of Writers. Steve, welcome to this program.
Thank you for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what inspired you to write this book? That's part one of the question. Part two is, what inspired you to, as you say in the acknowledgments, test your chops in the literary arena?
Yeah, so the first, I guess the best one to answer first is the one that goes furthest back in life. Your viewers aren't getting the pleasure of seeing me, my face, and trust me, they're not missing out on anything. I like to tell people, no one ever will confuse me for Tom Cruise or Robert Redford or Ryan Reynolds. When it came to sports, you know, I was good. I played varsity sports. I was never the star, but I wasn't the bench warmer. I was that guy that kind of, you know, rode the middle of the curve academically. So I never really excelled at a whole lot, but one thing I could always do was I could write. And I mean, it goes back to, you know, second grade teachers saying, wow, this kid can really write. He knows how to put things down on paper and make it interesting and make people want to read it. And it was something that served me throughout my Air Force career, my FBI career. And so once I got done working for the government and working in Abu Dhabi, I decided I was going to start writing a book, actually, while I was working in Abu Dhabi. The inspiration for this book itself came from a case I worked in 1998. We locked a guy up for threatening a bioterror attack on the Atlanta subway during the 4th of July weekend. And we lock him up, and one of the first things you have to do after you put somebody in jail is you got to take them to a judge for their initial appearance. So myself and my partner were sitting behind this guy at his initial appearance, waiting for the judge to come in the courtroom in Atlanta, Georgia. And he just turns to us and calmly, as you please, tells us that he's going to kill us both and kill our families when he gets out of prison. Now, the upside to that is he's still in prison. The downside is he's getting out July 4th of this year. I think he's made enough enemies along the way that I don't think that I'm in any particular danger. I also think that he's probably chilled out with the last 25, 26 years in prison. But my, at the time, wife, now my former wife, used to say, well, what if he could hire a hitman to take care of business from inside the walls, and he wouldn't even have to do it himself? And at the time, I sort of dismissed it with a wave of my hands and, oh, honey, you're being overly dramatic. And I thought about it when it came time to write a book. So that's how the book opens. The book opens with somebody going to see this nasty character, Travis Conley, who is a prisoner in ADMAX in Florence, Colorado, which is the only United States federal administrative maximum, supermax prison. And they go to see him, and they pick up their marching orders. And they turns out that this person works for this murderous ring of assassins for hire that operates on the dark web, and it kind of goes from there.
The character here, your protagonist, the retired FBI agent, is Bryce Chandler. How much of you is in Bryce?
A bit. So Bryce and I are both retired FBI agents from Atlanta, Georgia, who got divorced and moved to the Florida Keys, and there the similarities stop. Bryce has got a few human foibles about him, one of which I guess it's not a spoiler, is to say I wrote him as an alcoholic, and there was a reason that I wrote him as an alcoholic. And it's kind of funny, but a number of people who are very good friends of mine who've come up to me and said, dude, I had no idea you were an alcoholic. I feel bad about all those times that, you know, I was asking you to go drink or what have you. So, well, don't, because I'm not. That's just something that I wrote into this character. But he's kind of a, he's almost kind of a reluctant hero. I didn't write him as a Superman. I tried to stay true to what I thought a retired FBI agent would be like in his position.
Let's talk about settings here. Actually, of course, Abu Dhabi, you know very well. You spent time there. Why the Florida Keys and the picturesque hills of Texas in Call Me Sunny?
There's actually nothing in there. I don't think there's any Texas in the book. I finished the book in Texas while we were staying at my wife's father's house, waiting for a house to be built here in South Carolina. I picked the Florida Keys because I lived there, and I think it's just a great back. There's a lot of character in the Florida Keys, and a lot of characters in the Florida Keys. And one of them, of course, that I developed was Harley Christian, who is Bryce's, I hate to use the term snitch, he's his informant, but he's a very, very stereotypical native Keys guy, someone who's a local, who was born and raised there, and who's come up in the culture. And there was just a lot to draw on that I thought would sort of draw the reader in. That's why I picked the Florida Keys. A lot of it also takes place in Atlanta. And again, you know, you write what you know, and I'm very familiar with Atlanta, having spent 15 years there in my FBI career.
One of the first rules of writing, write what you know, yes. Were there any moments, not to give away too much, that you really enjoyed writing and exploring in this book?
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but, you know, there were, if you got named in this book, it was either because I really liked you or didn't like you. And if you read the book, you can probably figure out who the people were that I liked and who the people were that I didn't like so much. And I kind of enjoyed, you know, I took one of the characters in there, and this is not named after, this is not an actual name, but he is inspired by a real person, is an ASAC, an assistant special agent in charge, named Greg Peoples. And I enjoyed just making him be a fool. I enjoyed making him be someone who was incredibly out of his depth and didn't realize it, because we had some people like that in the FBI, not too many, but I think everybody sort of has that within their work environment. And it was a lot of fun writing for Greg Peoples. And then, yeah, it was also a lot of fun writing some of the violent scenes and the scenes where people get killed, because you're just free to really let your imagination roam as to the number of ways you can kill people. And I think I probably used a half a dozen different methods in this book.
So, Steve, you have your debut novel, Call Me Sunny, under your belt. What's the best thing about being an author now?
I think it's just the point when you realize that you had a story that people were interested in hearing, that people enjoy, and that it brings people some joy. Certainly, if you're in it for the money and your name isn't King or Grisham, you know, you're probably barking up the wrong tree, because unless you're selling, you know, tens of thousands of books, you're not making any money doing this. If you're in it for fame, you know, strike two. And I've actually had to take a much larger active role in social media than I really wanted to take in order to promote this book. But, you know, it's gotten the book out there. And yeah, when you read the biggest joy, the biggest spark of joy is when you read that somebody who you don't know, who doesn't know you from Adam, who's sitting in some cases in another country or another state, never met this person before. You know, it's not your mom saying, "I'm so proud of you, son," but someone you've never met who says, "Wow, what a great story. Can't wait for the next one." And you realize, wow, okay. That was, you know, going back to your question earlier about what I said in my acknowledgments, I wanted to test my literary chops. I really wanted to know. That's what I wanted to know. Did I have a book that was worthy of sitting on a shelf next to, you know, some of the more popular writers of our time? And so far, I think I've made good on that promise to myself.
Yeah, and that has to be a great feeling, getting feedback like that.
It really is. And it's, again, it's, you know, on Amazon, on Goodreads, on a few other places. I've done a few book signings where people have come up to me and, you know, told me how much they enjoyed it. I think actually the greatest compliment I got, it came from a former colleague of mine, another retired agent from Atlanta. And he called me up one night and he said, Hey, I want to let you know something. My daughter is 19 years old and she's mildly dyslexic. She's, completely functional. She's educationally functional. She goes to university and what have you. He said, but she really does not enjoy reading books. She read yours in 3 days, and really, really enjoyed it. And it's one of the first books as an adult that she's ever read, start to finish all the way through. It held her interest. And that to me was probably just as good as if Kirkus had given me a starred review or if the New York Times put me on their bestseller list. This was every bit as was every bit as encouraging, I guess, to me. Every bit as rewarding.
Steve, what do you think was your primary challenge in writing this book?
Second guessing myself. Every time, you write a chapter, you wonder, is it good enough? And one of the things that I did before I started writing this book, I read a lot of Stephen King. He is one of my favorite authors. And I read Stephen King's On Writing before I started writing this book. So I read a lot about his technique. And Stephen King's got this door opening, door closed technique, where you spend X number of months with the door closed and you just sit there and you just hammer, you just yak your brains out onto the paper or into the word processing program or what have you, and you just get it all out there. Then you go back and you read through the whole thing and you start self-editing it all before you ever send it off to an editor. I can't do that. There's an OCD part of me that can't go to sleep saying, I don't know, did I use too many adverbs in this sentence? Did I use too much metaphor, too much simile? Did I, and I got to go back. So I find myself having to perfect a chapter before I can move on to the next one. And I think that slowed my pace quite a bit.
You mentioned techniques. Did you use an outline for this, or did you let the story unfold as you were writing it?
Yeah, I actually used one of Stephen King's techniques. He talks about it in two places. The first place he talks about it is in the actual book Misery, which, as you'll recall, is an author who gets in a car wreck and gets basically shanghaied and kidnapped by a psycho fan who wants him to rewrite some of his old books. And in that, talking as the character, he talks about playing a game of, and I believe it's called Can You? Question mark. And he talks about it again in On Writing, and I use this a lot. You essentially you write yourself into a corner, and then you have to write yourself out. In other words, you write something that leaves the reader going, wait, what? What just happened? And then, you've written yourself into that corner. Well, now you got to write something plausible. So you write it to a point where something big happens, and then, all right, now what happens next? Or what explains what just happened? So there's several spots in the book, I think, where it's obvious I've kind of put a cliffhanger within a cliffhanger, and then I end up having to write my way out of it. And then, of course, at the end, I think I have the cliffhanger of cliffhangers, and I'm currently writing my way out of that in the sequel.
And that was going to be my next question, of course. Are you working on a sequel? And yes, you are, it sounds like so.
I am. It's called the working title is called Finding Sunny. Which, if you haven't read Call Me Sonny, probably gives you a little bit of a clue that, there's still this guy Sonny running around at the end of the book. But yeah, I'm roughly 40,000 words into that and still stuck in the same, I can't walk away from a chapter until I think I've perfected it. And, it's kind of slowing me down a little bit, but we're still trying to get this. I'd like to have it off to an editor by the end of the summer. So I probably need to spend a little bit more time sitting in front of my laptop and a little less checking my Instagram account.
Speaking of your Instagram account, I love the pro tips from a retired FBI agent. You can check it out. Steve Lazarus Instagram, they are terrific, and very useful. So check that
Yeah,
out.
thank you. That started as kind of a lark. I asked somebody, how do you, if you're with an independent publisher like I am, Boyle & Dalton, they don't have a $10 million marketing budget. So, they put a few things out there in social media, and really the lift is on the writer. And so I kind of hired a social media coordinator to help me along, and she helped me understand how to make a reel and how to make content that was that people liked. And yeah, I started putting out tips from retired FBI agent and five things I would never do as a retired FBI agent. And once a few of them went viral, it's funny. You can look at how you're doing as in terms of the followers that you're getting on social media, and you can click right over to Amazon and see how you're doing in the Amazon author page and sales. And they absolutely coincide with one another. There's no question about it.
Great. Yeah. And excellent tips on the pro tips. Check it out. And you can connect online with Steve at stevelazarusbooks.com. The book out now is Call Me Sonny. The author is Steve Lazarus. He's got more to come. Steve, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
And this is Speaking of Writers.